This message is presented to you by Green Cord Ministry. To learn more about Green Cord Ministry, go to www.greencord.co.
Good morning. Happy Sabbath. So Kevin asked if I might share a little bit of my testimony. I just wanted to start off by saying I really appreciated the message last night talking about idols and how it's so easy to have an idol in our lives, and that idols really are anything, even good things that we put above God in importance in our lives. I was really convicted by a lot of the things that were said, and I'm just asking the Holy Spirit to search my own heart to see, you know, because a lot of times we have blinders, we have blind spots to not really be aware of what is taking importance in our own lives over God. And I think all of us, if you were asked the question, what is the most important thing, we would all say God. We would all say God is the most important thing. That's why we're here in church. That's what we believe. That's why we read the Bible. But when it comes down to, you know, our day-to-day life and our day-to-day living and the pressures and the needs, the wants, the desires and different things, for some reason, I think we know what the reason is, but other things can end up winning out in importance over God. So I wanted to start off by saying that I wanted to share my testimony in order to praise God. That's the main reason why I'm sharing right now, is to praise God for who He is, for what He's done. Exodus 15:2 says, "The Lord is my strength and song, and He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise Him, my Father's God, and I will exalt Him." Also, Psalms 138, verse 1 says, "I will praise You with my whole heart." I'll praise You with my whole heart. How many times in my own life have I known about God, loved God, wanted to praise Him, but not praised Him with my whole heart, only praised Him with part of my heart, and only loved Him with part of my heart. Luke 10:27 says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength and all your mind." So part of what I wanted to share this morning is just some of the struggles that I've personally had with that and not being able to praise God with all of my heart and love God with all of my heart, my mind, my soul, and strength. When I was 16 years old, I just got my driver's permit, and my uncle visited from Sydney, Australia. And he, when he was younger, it was during the 60s and surfing was popular, and he had never caught a wave in Hawaii. You know, Hawaii is the place to go surfing, right? That's where surfing came from. And he didn't visit us too much growing up, but when I was 16, he made a visit to Hawaii, and one thing on his list was to go surfing at Waikiki Beach. So I had just gotten my driver's permit, 16 years old, and it was on summer vacation. And I was like, "Sure, Uncle Jeff, yeah, I can take you down to Waikiki, you know, I'll drive you down there." He didn't want to drive in the United States because it's on the wrong side of the road, you know, and he wasn't comfortable with that. So I drove him down. We got down to the beach, and he was like, I was thinking I would probably just wait for him while he goes out, you know, surfing. But he says, "Oh, I'll rent you a surfboard too." So in Waikiki, they had these big red tankers, we used to call them in the 80s, tanker surfboards that were about maybe 40 pounds and about maybe 4 inches thick and probably 10 feet tall. And I was like, yeah, I'll go out. Uncle Jeff, thanks. You know, rent me a board. So we both paddled out there at Waikiki to the surf break. And I had grown up swimming and snorkeling and playing in the waves, you know, a lot. So it was real comfortable in the ocean. And my uncle was kind of floundering. He had been kind of overweight at that point in his life and kind of remembered his youthful dreams of wanting to serve in Hawaii, but he was giving it his best shot. I was out there 16 years old, you know, in shape and that kind of thing. And I just remember sitting there that beautiful day at Waikiki on that surfboard, and a wave came towards me. I turned the board around and just stood up and just remember the feeling of that glide and the sound of the surfboard going over the water. And I had the biggest smile on my face. I was so excited. I was so pumped. I had that stoke that surfers call it. And from that point on, I was hooked on surfing. About at least 10 years, many surfboards and many waves later, I was at the point in my life where I felt kind of restricted in a couple of different ways. My family was, I was raised in the church, my family were churchgoers, and my parents both were professionals, had a very strong work ethic, and they saw surfing kind of as the beach bum kind of thing, not to do too much, maybe once in a while is okay. And so there's this kind of unspoken thing, what are you wasting your time for? And also with the church, I had been a deacon in my 20s and wanting to kind of be more free, or so I thought. I moved to California. That was really my prodigal son year, if you're familiar with that story in the Bible. I didn't take any money, but I took a credit card and I charged up that card beyond what I could pay off. But when I was in Huntington Beach, away from the people I knew, the onlooking of my family and also my church family, I was able to surf as much as I pleased. I was able to spend time with whoever I wanted. I was able to start drinking anything I wanted. And I thought that I was having the best time of my life. I didn't have those restrictions placed on me by conservative church people or conservative family members. And that lasted about a year. And it came to the point where I couldn't afford my lifestyle anymore. My credit card was charged up too high. I had all my surfboards there, California, but it just didn't, I was trying to make, a go at becoming a photographer. That was one of my interests back then, and see if I could maybe get into the professional photography world, and that wasn't really going well. So I kind of came back to Hawaii with my tail between my legs and like, okay, Mom and Dad, here I am, I'm back home. And if you folks remember the story of the prodigal son, when he finally goes back home, and his father greeted him with open arms, my experience with that was with God. And my parents were happy to see me, of course, don't get me wrong, but I had gone away from God in so many different ways with my relationships, with surfing. The Bible says, 1 John 2:15, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And that's what the whole year was about, you know, loving the world And in my experience, I found out that it wasn't fulfilling. It wasn't fulfilling. I just wanted to share this one tidbit. The first year, around 16 years old, 17 years old, that I was trying to teach myself how to surf. So my uncle went back to Australia, and my mom had a patient, and he was selling a used surfboard. It was $35. It was a twin fin, 5'11". And I was like, yeah, mom, I want it. Can we get it? You know. And so she got it. And I was driving at that point. I had my license. So I would drive myself down to the beach. I had this small little board. It's like, I'm going to learn how to surf on these small ones because the big ones are just for, you know, old fat people. Sorry. But I was a teenager. And at that point, you know, that's what was popular. So I remember that whole first year of trying to surf and fail, trying to catch waves. And it takes a long time to learn how to surf. I mean, it takes a lot of time in the water. Paddling, getting up, falling down as soon as you get up. Again and again and again and again and again. But just, I would keep on going out as often as I could. And for me, in thinking about this, preparing for this testimony, I remember that first year with my first surfboard out at Waikiki, trying to catch these waves and falling down, and thinking to myself how much I wanted to be called a surfer. I'd be sitting there, and I'd be sitting on my board, and it's like, am I a surfer? Am I a surfer yet? And I'd paddle for a wave, stand up, fall down. It's like, no, I'm not a surfer. Look at me, I can't surf. But I would keep on going. But I was kind of, I guess you could say, coveting that title, coveting that recognition of being, you know, my friends at school could call me a surfer. Or I could say, you know, I could stand up and say, yeah, I'm a surfer. So, you know, that kind of was one of the things that drove me. I mean, here in Hawaii, you know, it's part of the Hawaiian culture. You know, it's part of the pop culture, obviously, in America and around the world. But there was a big part of it, especially at that young age, that kind of drives you to figure out who you are, and you want to be somebody that is valuable or worthwhile or appreciated. So that was definitely a driving force with me. I wanted to be called a surfer. So really, my reason for being here is to say that God is good, God is awesome. The song that I thought about when I was preparing for this, just outside here, was Happiness is the Lord. Anybody know that song? My wife just told me that's a Heritage Singer song. I forgot that, but it goes, Happiness is the Lord. I forget the words. You probably know it. But at that time when I was surfing, I had the rush, the stoke of catching the wave, riding the wave. Eventually, yeah, I got better. I had that, the Bible calls it the pride of life. I had that label. I could call myself a surfer. And I didn't realize, you know, that the Bible says that there's a way that seems right to a man, but at the end it leads to death. I didn't realize this path I was taking would end up in a place that left me empty, left me lonely, left me unfulfilled. You know, all of these things that we do in life that you think is going to be so wonderful, if you follow them out to their logical end and you get there, you realize they're not fulfilling. They don't make you happy. Happiness is the Lord. Amen. And that's what really I wanted to say this morning, that happiness is the Lord. And I don't mean to say that surfing is bad. I'm not saying surfing is inherently bad. I don't see Josh here. Josh argued with me last time I talked about this. But anything is bad if we put it in importance in our life above the Lord. Amen. So to finish off, I just wanted to read Galatians 2:20. And it's really a verse that I think talks about the pride of being able to say, stand up and say, no, not I'm a surfer, but I'm Christ's, I'm a Christian, you know? And the satisfaction that we can have in our hearts, in our minds, in our lives, knowing that you really belong to Jesus Christ. And that's what I'm thankful for. That's what I wanted to express. It's Galatians 2:20. It says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Amen. And the last text I just wanted to share was Ephesians 3:20 to 21. And this talks about it just talks about God is so wonderful. There's several texts that I have. Psalm 16:11, you will show me the paths of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Psalms 37:4, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. The last one is Ephesians 3:20 to 21. To him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. I mean, my prayer, you know, to myself, for myself, to God is, you know, help me to stop thinking that there's pleasures in this world, you know, that don't include you, you know, that I can get some kind of satisfaction or fulfillment in life apart from you, you know. God can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, you know. Why am I thinking that I can satisfy my own cravings and my own desires? So thank you, Kevin and Desiree, for doing this seminar. Appreciate it. I know I have a lot to still work on, or rather, there's a lot that God has to work on me. And I'm thankful for the convicting messages and the stimulating thoughts that this presentation can have.
If you have been blessed by these messages, we would like to hear from you. Contact us at greencord.co@gmail.com.